Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It is Monday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy this show. This story was first published on April 24th of 2016, under the headline Frontier Oregon Swindlers, the Traveling Medicine Shows. Here we go. The four decades following the Civil War were something like a golden age of charlatanry in the West, and Oregon was no exception. From swindling tourists at a gambling parlor, to fleecing miners in a tent city saloon, to peddling stock in non-existent gold mines, the opportunities for a morally flexible fellow to make a stack of ill-gotten greenbacks were probably never higher in the Beaver State than they were back then. One of the most popular ways for a con man to steal a buck or two was with a medical miracle scam. An enterprising con would mix up a concoction containing a few substances with dramatic effects, red pepper, alcohol, and laudanum, say, and mix in a couple of flavoring agents to give it the proper medicinal taste, eucalyptus oil, for example. Then into a bottle it would go, and the con, calling himself Doc, would roll from town to town selling it as a secret recipe folk remedy for whatever seemed most likely to sell. This basic scheme was demonstrated in one of the more famous episodes of the Lone Ranger radio show from 1938, in which Doc Stubbs rolls into town selling a product called Snake Oil Tonic, which does nothing but put the residents to sleep so that his accomplice can pick their pockets. Here's a brief and highly entertaining excerpt from that episode.
Well, folks, quiet down, quiet down. That ain't all, gents. We got more. We got more music, more dancing, and more things to show you. But first, I want to take this opportunity to bring relief to them that suffers. Hair to them that's bald. Comfort and health to all the ailing. Folks, right here in this small bottle is the world's greatest discovery. The secret of my famous snake oil tonic was lost since the earliest Egyptian days. On one of my world tours, I found the secret formula, written early Egyptian, on the inside of the tomb of Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, sirree, folks. The thing that my snake oil tonic won't cure ain't been discovered. Aches and pains, colds, lameness, rheumatism, dandruff, stomachache, headache, toothache, neuralgia, asthma, gout, and baldness. Snake oil peps you up, and it's the thing for whatever ails you. How'd Methuselah live to be 1,000 years of age? Snake oil! What made Solomon so wise? Snake oil! But men of your intelligence don't need convincing when they see an honest man. All I can say is try it. And if it don't do what it's claimed, your cash will be refunded cheerfully.
Unfortunately, there aren't many stories of specific medico-cons in the historical record. Touring the country under false names and often a skip or two ahead of the law, they did their best to stay out of the history books as long as possible. But the legitimate physicians in the towns they visited have left us some pretty colorful accounts of their general business methods. Quote, "Do you see that open barouche coming down the street with a torch on either side and two California sharpers sitting just back of the driver?" wrote Dr. William L. Adams, an eclectic physician working in Portland in the 1870s. "They wear stovepipe hats and are neatly dressed in broadcloth with high standing collars and wear massive watch chains washed with oroids and glistening in the light of their torches. They stop on the corner of First and Alder Street. By this time, attracted by the torches and the music of a fiddle, there has gathered around them a crowd. The orator stands up in the barouche. He takes in the character of the crowd and begins his oration. He has a medicine for sale that will cure catarrh, asthma, epizootic, and all other diseases. He is a ventriloquist. Here he lifts up his Punch and Judy and makes her sing a song about Henry Ward Beecher, which amuses the crowd. He then makes her say something about the value of his medicine in curing all diseases. He makes an eloquent speech with loud intonations and violent gestures. This medicine is a sure cure for asthma, consumption, catarrh, or anything else you happen to have. Anyone who buys it and is not satisfied will have his money refunded. We sold 5,000 packages here in Portland last year, at $1 a package, and if there is a man here who was not satisfied, let him walk up and return it, and we will refund the money. Of course, nobody does. This satisfies the crowd that the medicine is a good thing, and one poor laboring man walks up and hands over $1 and receives an ounce bottle of magnesia, table salt, and red pepper, nicely mixed. "Now take a pinch of that," shouts the doctor, "and see if it doesn't clean out your nose." The victim obeys and sniffs, sneezes, snorts until the tears run down his cheeks and then laughs. He proudly shoves the packages into his breeches pocket, with an expression on his face that shines out through the dirt and tobacco juice, which the crowd reads as saying, "By golly, I think that medicine ain't no humbug." Now the sharper shouts out, "Gentlemen, if you are skeptical of this medicine, I don't blame you. You have been humbugged and robbed by your doctors until you have no faith in medicines." Here he snatches up a bottle of his stuff and, extending it to the crowd, proceeds, "Gentlemen, we humbug nobody. We believe in dealing on the square. Please walk up and try some for yourself. This may be your last chance to get a medicine for $1 that will do you more good than $1,000 spent on a doctor. You may not be diseased now, but you may be within a week after we have gone back to California, and when we come back next year you may be down in your graves or in your beds past cure. You know that millions of souls have been eternally lost because they failed to get religion when the preacher invited them. Don't make the same fearful mistake. Get the medicine while you have the chance. Don't wait until it is too late." At this point, the rattle of dollars dropping into the collection box sounds like a gambler's table. It is now 10 o'clock, and the intelligent fellow citizens are tired. The doctors bid them an affectionate good night, promising to be back tomorrow night, and in the meantime they can be found at their room at the hotel, where they will be pleased to relieve as many sufferers as choose to call. Upon reaching their rooms, their piety evaporates. They don't even say their prayers and go to bed, but proceed to open their bag and count out 57 webfoot dollars, the result of their night's work. At four other doctors' stands, the receipts range from $20 to $80. The doctors crawl into their beds happy, and the ventriloquist says, "Jim, they told us the truth in California, didn't they?"
"How's that?"
"That there are more doggone fools in Portland than anywhere else." And Jim replies,
"You bet. It's a good place to gather goose feathers up here in Webfoot."
Key sources in this story have included works by O. Larcel and Eric Bromberg. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include an active Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a ton of historic photos, and a bunch more stuff, including visuals for today's show and full citations to sources, all accessible via our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, offbeatoregon.com/CC. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. It's called The Old Man's Waltz. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode, email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.